Hello and welcome, everyone, to the Creation Lightship Healing Show with Ron Ametron. We're delighted that you're all here. It is Friday, April 18th, 2014, and we thank BBS Radio so much for being here and facilitating this show for us. We appreciate you more than ever today. We're lucky enough to have a guest coming on, our sponsor of the show, Jay, is coming on again tonight, and I'm looking forward to that very much, to keep going on all this wonderful information we're getting. In the meantime, before Ron comes on, if you want to go to his website, you can bring up the picture of the beautiful light being, make it as large as you can on your screen, and then when Ron comes on, he'll clear us a bit and then activate the light being. So I'll welcome Ron to come on the show now. Hi, Ron.
Hi, so here we go, everybody. So let's get the ball rolling here, and we'll clear away some densities if you have any. So if you have a situation going on, think of it right now, and or you had one, here we go. So here we go, releasing the energies that you may have collected around you. So one, two, three, four, and five. And we'll do another one of these in case you have an extra one hanging on. So here we go. Never know. So one, two, three, four, and five. Maybe you got one of those mind-looping entities that hopped on you, and you don't know why you keep hearing the same voice in your head all the time. So we'll get that one out, too. So here we go. One, two, three, four, and five. Okie doke. So let's energize the light beam. Bring it up on your monitor screen. And here we go. So stronger. We'll bring the males in. Stronger. Stronger, 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 and stronger. There we go, everybody. So back to you, Ann.
Okay, Ron, thank you. That felt wonderful, and I think we'll just let Jay take it away. Just a quick reminder that this coming Sunday is an 8-hour healing call where you get to spend 8 hours on Creation Lightship. I recommend it very, very highly to everyone. And hi, Jay.
Hi, Ann.
Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. Hi, Ron.
Hi. So, let's see what you have to ask tonight. Never know.
Well, boy, a lot of different choices here. The process where we go out of our body and we come back in all the way down to, like, our feet, and we do that maybe a couple of times. I guess it clears the circuits or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What happens is sometimes you come into your body improperly. I'll just define that for people who don't understand this. Normally when you go to sleep, you're out of your body. You shouldn't be, but for some reason most people go out of their bodies when they're sleeping. Then, you know, your alarm clock goes off, or you get startled, or whatever happens. If you have an internal clock and you start waking up, well, your spirit's out because it can't talk to you, basically, and it has nothing to do. It doesn't sleep, and so it may want to go out to maybe sightsee or something, you know, or the darkness takes it out into parallel lifetimes where it thinks that it needs to be with you, knowing that it's a part of you out there, and your part here is sleeping, so it wants to have an experience. So just keeping it really simple. So all of a sudden, you get startled, you wake up, your alarm clock goes off, maybe you're in a dead sleep, and you all of a sudden you wake up, and if your spirit's not with you, you just have your eyeballs moving, and you can't move your body. That happens to some people. And normally it lasts about a half a minute. Hopefully it's not longer than that, but most people have experienced that long. And that half a minute seems like an eternity. Oh man, I can't move. What's wrong with me? Well, then your spirit pops in, and then you start to move. Well, sometimes what happens is the alarm clock goes off in a dead sleep, and all of a sudden your body is alerted, gets startled, gets afraid, and all of a sudden your spirit knows that your body's not moving because it's in the beyondo. And it comes back to you, you know, full speed ahead. And when it does that, it comes into your body, which I call a crash landing. It comes in whatever way it can. So it could be an upside down on your body. It could be turned 90 degrees to the left or the right or whatever. And, you know, you could be that way for years, not knowing why this is happening. Some people that I have worked with, their spirit could be in their body facing to the right, and they go, yeah, you know, I always feel like I'm walking a little strange, and I always pull myself to the right, not knowing why. Oh, and that's because you're in your body improperly. So what we'll do is put you in right.
Right.
And almost everybody is not in the body correctly. Might be a few of you out there who might be, but normally people are a little bit off always. Here we go. We're going to take you out and put you back in again. So coming out and back in. There we go. So now you're in your body properly. Now, because your spirit probably doesn't want to be here because it's been here for so long and it's stuck here, it doesn't always like to go into your feet. So normally most spirits, you know, kind of want to get, you know, the head start out. So maybe they only actually energize your body maybe at your waist because it normally pops out maybe through your heart or through your head or something, crown chakra or whatever. And it doesn't really want to get anchored too well in your body because it wants to get the quick getaway. So we're going to bring you now into your feet. So bring in healing energies into your feet. And you're going to probably have your legs feel heavy. It'll start to tingle normally. And here we go. So coming out and in. You might get dizzy here. Out and in. 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 I'll just wait for a second here for your body to stabilize. People did this too. I almost felt like they wanted to throw up because it was, you know, quite an ordeal for them because they never really were in their body right. Spirit now is entering into areas that be unknown to your body because you haven't had it connected there for a long time. So here we go. Out and in, 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 out and in. There. Now you should feel much earth energy in your body. Your body may be getting extra warm where your spirit was not. And you have healing happening. Well, back to you, Jay.
Okay. That was noticeably different. So I don't know what words to use. I won't use any words. So, what I do want to talk about, I even emailed in a question about this, and that is the, what do you call it? Which one is this? The fetus light infusion? I forget the exact name. To activate or to bring forth DNA that maybe has characteristics and whatnot, and you said physical attributes, whatever. What does physical attributes mean?
Okay, well, that would be for somebody who maybe wants to do something more physical, you know. Maybe you're a runner and you want to run a little bit faster. You do something with your body and you want to exceed a little more. That can help you with that. So that's what...
Okay.
That's about. And also works for possible, I'll use the word, but you cover a lot of areas. We'll just say birth defects. If you have something that you don't like on your body and you go, yeah, this shouldn't be here, nobody else has it. And very possibly that got put in because there was something that got activated in your DNA and you have it now. So you can say, well, let's see if we can get rid of this here. So that's a possibility. I can't guarantee, you know, this is going to go away if you have something like that. You know, maybe you have a skin coloration or, you know, a blemish or something somewhere on your body, and you go, that doesn't look right to me. Possibly this could help. I can't guarantee it, but it does help people I know who need a little more mental faculties on something, you know. That's what it's designed for also. Back to you, Jay.
Okay, well, what about or... program in the body so as a baby I was born to live into 100 plus in a very healthy and vibrant body.
Yeah, you would want to bring forth the DNA of one of your ancestors that lived for a long time.
Oh.
That would be one way of looking at it. You could probably, you know, activate that part. To have more perfect health. Remember, you're kind of like rewriting your history of this lifetime.
Exactly. That could possibly. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here, yes.
Yeah. So what was the last thing you said that could possibly to bring forth from the ancestors' DNA someone
you
that lived a long time?
One of your ancestors
time?
That lived for a long time, if you know that, and see if you can bring forth that DNA that allowed them to live longer.
Well, I want to go beyond anything I know of. I mean, I literally would like to be 100 and be vibrant in my body like I was 40. So that's what I'm going to put in there, see what happens. I'll give you a report. We'll see what I look like in a month.
Yeah, give it a try.
So,
you never know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep, you don't know what got activated and what you're running, you know.
Right. So the other thing I was looking at was at the window where you can type in a description of what you want. So what do you put in there to activate? I mean, like, let's say my ancestor, I know for several generations back, there's been a male issue of money and producing all coming together at the same time. So, so how would I word something to change, to clear something unfavorable and then also amplify or bring forward more of what is favorable, like wealth management and consciousness and, you know, living in spirit-activated life kind of thing.
Right.
Wealth is natural.
Yeah. That clearing could possibly do that, but the psychic billboard might be better. That's more in the moment where what you're bringing in. Oh. And the other one, I'm sure it could help, but I don't know how you would phrase that. Because, remember, brought in DNA to block you from that. Or people activated it in you and it came forward. Remember, when you're first born, everything is perfect.
Yeah.
And so when you're perfect, then everything is great, but you can't do anything with it because you're a baby. And then as you start learning how to... when you start learning, then you put into the matrix here. The matrix
Then whoops, you start learning, and that's it.
yep, that's true.
Yeah.
That's why in the Bible, Jesus says you need to be, or must be, you're paraphrasing, like innocent like a child, or be, or have that consciousness. Uh-huh. That's what he was talking about, because tied into mind energy. And that's what the clearings do, is bring you back to that. Sort of all that stuff that you've learned. Don't get rid of the experiences, and you can still see what happened to you, but the charge on it, which is blocking your spirit from being inside of your body, but it does. Whatever you deal with, that kicks your spirit out when you start thinking, and you want to get your spirit back into you, like a child again.
Yep. So, so speaking of like a child again, I'm starting a pre-care school where part of the slogan is the kids center. So in that light, I need to come up with a template or a writing, like a couple of sentences that kind of talks about doing that. Like I know there's a school in Russia that has been around for 20, 30 years, and it's evolved. This is like an educational school. It's evolved up to the place where the kids run the school, build the buildings, kind of do everything, I mean, all the way up into 12th grade, you know, which they're capable of. It's a beautiful school. So I want to start a daycare center where that's the case, but you were just talking about how as a baby you don't know how to do certain things, and then you learn, and then whoops, you know. So let's talk about having a center where the kids never have to go whoops, where they just transition into being in that aware state and being functional here on Earth.
Yeah, I would think if you got younger children, you know, I would say, you know, somehow incorporate that emotional healing with
absolutely
that and maybe, you know, everybody deals with fear, you know, fear and trauma, and anxiety are probably the main ones. You have to kind of look at what the parents in that location are doing. Are they trying to make their kids be overachievers?
That happens. Yeah.
And so you want to get rid of that energy too, because that can put blocks up in the child. Remember, whatever the parent teaches that child, that activates the DNA, and it could be a positive thing or even a negative one. Because a negative one could be the fact that maybe parent says, okay, we're going to push our child to learn this, right? And that activates something in that learning process that maybe in the past life of the body of the child and the genetics, which your parents have too, which is probably why they're trying to push the child to overachieve, maybe they got killed as of something. And so right away that could be activated in the child, and it could be a negative situation trying to overachieve because process in a past life, going back whenever when, a person overachieving got killed. Let's just look at a situation of I don't know. We could probably talk about a war situation. Let's just say a war situation. And so you have the guy out on point, you know, the first guy out there, right? That would be the overachiever. And so everybody, the guy in the front running ahead of everybody else, maybe he gets killed. Okay?
Yeah.
Now you're trying to make your child to run faster to do this. And the child goes, on my DNA, I don't know. You know, this could kill me, right? And nobody may know why the child doesn't want to run fast. And now the kid's, really upset and angry with the parents. And you look at it, well, why doesn't the child want to run fast? Well, that's coming up because they activated the DNA that could kill them. And it happens in his lifetime, but it still comes forward. There's situations that people... bring people into by activating the DNA just by talking about or seeing a situation. That's how it gets activated. So,
well, yeah, and even going to a movie can activate all that stuff.
Oh, yes, it can, yeah. So,
yeah. So let's talk about the movie that's out right now called Noah, which I went and saw last night.
I never saw it yet.
It's powerful. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see it, Ron?
I'm here. I didn't see it yet. No, I don't know if I will or not, but go ahead.
Well, one of the things that got activated in me that I could see in me is the, God, tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. Please, God. I want to do the right thing, and then they really put out about the fear of punishment if I do the wrong thing with God. So I just did the God connection clearing a few days before the movie, which is the only reason what the heck, I'm going to go and see, like Ron says, it activates our DNA. I know the movie will. But it was a bummer feeling. By the end of the movie, I was really bummed out. I'm bad, I've sinned, I'm going to be punished. I know at any minute I want to be punished.
It sounds like you need to run that God connection clearing again.
Again. Yeah.
We do have that religious indoctrination clearing.
Maybe.
Well, that's in there. That's in there, that's for sure. I mean, it's...
It sounds like you got a heavy dose, Jay.
Well, yeah, I'm sensitive. I got a dose and I felt it. I was aware of it. I mean, overall, I'm really glad I went because it was, I got to see part of that stuff that's in there, that program.
That's a gift.
The movie is, yeah. Not the stuff, though, okay? Maybe the stuff is, too. Yeah.
Well, it's good, you see, because that could be a theme in your life. The movie could have activated all that stuff in you. I won't say all of it, but, maybe five different issues, and you can go, wow, I really am tied into this stuff. And because it's on the surface, which means that if it's on the surface, it means that you're running those energies all the time. And so maybe just by knowing that, now you can get rid of that energy, that charge, and get back into neutral.
Uh-huh.
That's really good.
Yeah.
oh, the $10 for the movie, you know, whatever is was really good for you, because now you know this stuff has a hold on you.
Oh, right. Yeah, yep, you're right.
Yeah, so, more things you know you have to clear.
Well, yeah. Or the clearer the glass gets of what you've already cleared. It's like, oh, look at all that connects together there. So, but moving on along from the movie, what else is going on, Ronnie? What would you like to talk about? Anything particular come to you?
Well, I've been doing a lot of work with the Red Moon stuff, just tons of work there. The crucifixion, fiction energies, tonight, Good Friday.
Oh, right? I forgot. Yeah.
The Blood Moon, yeah. So that's what I've been working on, to get rid of those timelines. So I'm taking the now time and going back into the time from the past, which I really haven't looked at that much. What I'm doing now is trying to clear, or not trying, I am clearing away the energies on those timelines back then so they won't affect us now.
Uh-huh.
As you can see how the guilt that Christians have, you know, you have to realize that's probably why they have, you know, a cross hanging around their neck, basically, because they want to suffer and know that in their genetics they possibly helped out to kill the person that was here to try to help them get out of their judgment, the ascension. And so whoever has a cross around their neck, they're wearing that cross and that guilt, you see.
Yep, and they're saying, cross me out.
Cross me out, yeah, that's good. So anyway, that's what I'm clearing away now, is to get rid of that stuff on it here, because it shouldn't really be here. Remember, they never want to repeat history of the past, and every year it comes up. And then,
true.
You know, it's all that alien stuff, you know, what I used to talk about on shows quite a while ago. I haven't brought it up, I don't think, recently. I could have once, but, you know, when Jesus was on the cross, what he said was, you know, the basic paraphrasing, you know, like, Father, why did you forsake me? So rephrasing that, since he was working at that time with the, our term now would be Galactic Federation, and then some people don't like that because they go, that's darkness, so then I can change it to the Galactic Federation of Light. Okay, so we could use that, but basically, he was working with the aliens to protect him through the ascension process to help people out here. And the darkness from them, you know, did that. That's why he said, Father, why did you forsake me? That was the Galactic Federation. Like, why are you allowing me to suffer and die and to get killed when you're very powerful? Why am I being sacrificed, okay?
Wow.
You know, if you look at yourself, anybody out there, you go, yeah, why is something that I relied on my whole life, like your parents, we'll just say, we'll look at that, you see. You know, when you're younger, you know, a young child, you are having your parents help you out throughout life until you get out of the house.
Yep.
And so he's wondering why they did that to him and why they didn't come in and intervene. And that's kind of the way, you know, you may want to look at this situation. So that was your space brothers out there, or the space brothers out there. So people say, gee, Ron, are there, you know, don't you think there's good aliens out there? Well, the track record that they have, you know, is not very good. And, you know, they've had 2,000 years to make amends to help us out, if they were so good. So, like I say, it's as above, so below. What we have happened to us here with control issues and everything else on this planet, whenever you have some type of control, I guess I could use the words stretching it out, laws and rules and regulations, we'll say, and statutes and codes, You know,
oh,
all that
everywhere.
Is the same, like the aliens are probably up against themselves. So, remember, there's always
what does
a
that mean,
race above.
Above.
Another one, you know,
oh.
As above, so below. So they're above us, and who's above them controlling them. And mm-hmm. so that's why we probably have not ever had any help here, typically, by the aliens. That they could have brought in. Mm-hmm. What they did is they brought in the technology, say, in the last, well, I don't know. I could say 100 years, hypothetically, you know, when they started making the first automobile, which is over 100 years, but we'll just say 100 years. And then they gave us the atomic bomb, you know. And why didn't they give us some type of special electromagnetic car or something, you know, that would run, you know.
Tesla was out there doing things like that, and he got ruined and then died. So yeah, it's an interesting dilemma, and this is what was in this movie Noah, was man failing on the planet, and God's going to come in and wipe everybody off the planet with water, except for those on Noah's Ark and Noah. Although it had a twisted plot line. I mean, it really did. So here's something to talk about. So this is the second movie I've gone to recently. It's been like weeks since I've been to a movie. So what I notice is I immerse myself in it. I don't shrink wrap myself now I think about it. But anyway, the point is I go to the movie, I enjoy the movie. And then by the end of the movie, I'm like, oh, my God, look at all of this. And then I kind of walk out with it, those programs operating. And then I go through every day, I'll get clear some of it, and I clear some of it. By the third or fourth day, I'm pretty much back to whatever normal is. More a higher, a majority percentage of, say, myself than whatever thing I went
through. That's actually good. That's great. What I tell people to do, which is what you're doing, but you've seen it through a movie, is just go to a shopping mall with lots of people. I didn't say clones, I said people. But clones could be people. So you have humans, and then you got the 90% clones. So 10% human, 90% clones. Okay, so anyway, just sit down and start judging people and see how your body's responding as you start judging. And then once you judge it, then if we have a clearing for it, and if not, just maybe say a couple thousand times or so that you release the energy out of your body. Of whatever you're seeing. So let's say you're sitting down and I don't know, the more recent things are people having the big earrings, you know, in their ears. So let's just say you don't like that. So because that's unusual, you know, for people, you know, I think it's been maybe around for 10 years. So, you know, if you're out of the scene, you know, and you all of a sudden you saw these people with the big earrings in their ears, you go, wow. This is pretty weird, so you're going to think it's a weird thing because you've never seen it before. So if you don't, if you have a judgment on that, then you can just note that down on a piece of paper, and you say it a whole bunch of times, maybe a thousand times, you know, to release it out of your body to get rid of that energy. And then also you may want to see how it's tied into you after that. But eventually what will happen is you'll get it out of you, and then you're going to see the person again where it's not even going to affect you. They'll seem normal to you, which means that you're not reactive to it. You want to see where you're reacting to people. Or maybe you might see somebody walking with a green sneaker, and maybe they have a purple sneaker, and you go, well, that's kind of weird. They got two different color shoes, you know. Well, you know, everybody's triggered differently by situations. Maybe you might see somebody, you know, coming in, an older person with a walker, you know, one of those a four-legged stool things, you know, and you go, uh-oh. Well, what does that mean to you? Are you afraid to have that happen to you? You know, if you are, then you better clear that out of you because it could be on your doorstep. You know, so you need to look at people and just whatever you see runs right through your body and you're not attached to anything. That's who you want to be. So what you see that you don't like or you do like, both ways, that's going to be a resistance for you, and you may start to draw that upon yourself. So back to you, Jay.
Well, so if it starts coming back, see it and then remember what you said, right? You follow what I'm saying?
You have to come into oneness with it. You got to be what you're seeing so it doesn't react with you or doesn't trigger you. Yeah. And that triggering is only because you have a past experience on it. You may not know what it is, but it's activated in you. If you had a clean slate, nothing would bother you. That's why you do clearings, to get a clean slate.
Yes, and I know that experience more and more. The tools really work, Ron. I mean, I know you know this. I'm saying to someone maybe listening to this for the first time, if you're on the archives, the tools really, really work. I mean, you run those programs, and at least I did. I speak for myself, and it's a lot of things have cleared up and gotten easier, more graceful. My business stuff is much easier. My relationships are starting to open up in a whole new way. Personal relationships, you know. So, pretty good stuff. Hey, here's an idea. I wanted to put this out here on the air. The New Earth Transporter, right?
Yes, okay.
You think it would work if, like I do a lot of different programs, and it's like a chore to go there and copy and paste in the window and, you know, transport it. So would it work to transport it by maybe putting in parentheses after your name, please transport, or new age
transport? No, it's a whole different way of doing it. You have to do that in order to transfer the clearing over, which is part of yourself. So that's the way it works. So when you do a clearing, you're regaining more of your spiritual integrity of who you are, and you want to put that into that new earth transport. So for the newcomers, what happened was a few years ago, I thought, gee, what's going to happen if all these people that are doing these clearings online and maybe with me personally, when I used to do them that way and stuff, all of a sudden ascension happened, like when Jesus was here, and they all got taken sideways. Remember, when the light comes at ascension time, it just looks for light. It turns off, the whole universe of light's turned off, and it looks for little specks of light, just kind of like if you're up in an airplane, okay? So we'll just use that analogy. So in the daytime, everything looks light, everything looks fine, looks like it's all light energy. So when you're like in an airplane, and all of a sudden you're flying in darkness, right? Comes down, and you go over a town, and you see the light there. That's what the light will be looking for. Well, if the darkness turned out all those lights and took you sideways onto another parallel life, what they're doing all the time anyway, then the light can't find you. So this is the way that you're guaranteed to be found, because the parts of you are already relocated over there. Well, that's be connected, going the other direction into, like maybe, I don't want to use the term energetic cording, but we'll just say resonance of light. So that's helps you out so that you're not going to be...
Oh, so resonance of light, excuse me, meaning like when ascension time comes, then in the crossing over, you'll resonate with that part of you that you've been transporting over there, and you'll be that.
Yes,
then you... Okay.
That's why I put it up, because I went, uh-oh, this is not good. That already happened in with Jesus, and just probably all the other times before, you know. So I had to figure out a way to get people so the clearings that they did is still going to be beneficial, and that you're bringing yourself over there cleaned up, and then you recognize. You have to have the acknowledgement. Light only looks for light. If you're not here, then you're not here.
Right.
Ron, okay, so, I think what Jay was suggesting, though, is like a shortcut to not have to go into a new page, but to just put a forward slash, please transfer to New Earth.
I can run 4 or 15 programs in a day. I mean,
would that work as a shortcut, do you think, Ron?
No, you have to go into that clearing.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyway. Yeah. Well, that's that's okay. But let's see. It was I know what I want to switch the topic to. Egypt.
Oh no.
Egypt's been coming up in my space.
Oh no.
Tell me what that means. Oh no.
Oh no. Yeah. Whenever I do any work, normally it ends up going from one thing to the next, and then all of a sudden I'm underneath the pyramids doing clearings and getting rid of the energies there, plus other pyramids on the planet here. So that's just, you know, the aliens that were here at the time, you know, when they made the pyramids, a different alien race, and putting people into bondage, you know.
Oh. What, the pyramid was like a hypnosis transponder?
Well, I think it's more like some type of energy vortex, just to keep it real simple.
Wow.
Stargate, a way to go from one universe maybe to another. And then you also have the sacrifices of people. And, you know, it just the whole thing is, you know, pretty bad. Okay. Whenever I see that, you know, whenever I start working, that normally always I end up going back to the Middle East somewhere. So that's
well, something I heard once is like the Middle East is like the portal, the first opening into this dimension. Say, so it's like, and it's expanded out from there, but that's like the core, back to the kingpin and the axle. It's like this beam of light going through space, and it like turns into like it's got a washer on it, or I don't know, a disc on it, and that's this dimension that we're in. So I don't know what I'm saying here exactly, but how can you get it to all work together so that, you know,
what we need to have happen here is all the aliens that maybe have been here for a long time, probably, you know, maybe millions of years, that they all kind of, you know, start to release get rid of their animosity toward other races. That's the first thing. And us humans are just, you know, the newcomers on the block here. And there are races that don't like us here, and that's probably why, you know, we're having the air the way it is, and the chemtrails and stuff, and they don't really value our particular species, okay? So,
yeah, I just got this image of like a crop duster or whatever that's just killing little bugs down the ground, doesn't even give it a second thought hardly. Just not convenient for it to be there, so let's move it out of the way.
Yeah. So remember, most of the aliens, you know, that are here are typically underground. That's why there's so many different underground tunnels and things that people, when they go down and, you know, maybe create their own tunnels, find up or see alien stuff. So on the surface, they're probably living, but it's getting so overpopulated now that a lot of them probably are forced to go underground because they look different than us, you know. And they are finding new types of, I could use the word alien type of, you know, things in the water too. They find, oh, this is this new type of fish or something, or they see some kind of two-legged thing, you know, running around, like Bigfoot, for instance, and they go, well, you know. You know, people just think it's maybe an ape, but it's probably an alien that's living here, you know, trying to, you know, live out in the wilderness. And, you know, the wilderness is being taken away by overpopulation of people here.
Well, there's a lot of forest, though.
Yeah, it all depends how far they're being pushed out, you know. Are they used to living in a really cold climate or something, you know? They may not be. Maybe they're forced to do that and attempt to adapt. Maybe they can't, you know?
Yeah.
No, it's just fine. That's like, do they, you know, what's that song by Joni Mitchell, something about, you know, I forgot what it is, but, you know, everything's being paved over, you know. What about the birds and the bees, you know? Parking lot.
Yeah, it's like a complete insensitivity to the nature world. It's like numbed out.
Well, remember, as above, so below, you see. So the humans are wanting more space, so they have more, they get overpopulated. And from there, they want to have more and more and more, and they kill all the trees to get wood to make houses. Do they ever ask the tree if it wants to get killed, you know? And then what about the animals that were here? Just think of a bug that used to be walking around where your house was. It probably really enjoyed living there. Well, you know, the bug any different than you, you know? The aliens probably just see you as the same thing as you see the bugs.
Yeah.
Raid going out.
Well.
So anyway, we should probably get on a more delightful topic here.
Yes, okay.
Big Yellow Taxi is the name of the song, Joni Mitchell, yeah.
Wow.
But that's kind of where we are, is, you know, and like I say, you know, as you look at technology now, of what we have a computer, and, you know, they have cars that run on batteries now, you know, like the Tesla car, for instance, and other ones, you know. Those inventions are kind of new to us, as aliens are giving us this technology right now. But they could have gave us this technology back in the 1900s, okay, because they're controlling the Matrix. So they could have given us computers in the 1900s. And they could have said, hey, put these chemicals together. You know, we had manufacturing plants, you know. And they could say, just do this here. They could download the information just like they're doing now today. You get an inventor and they, you know, sit down and try to invent something, and they get an idea and they try it out. And, you know, it's interesting how stubborn the aliens were, because there's a phrase that I saw with Thomas Edison, something about, you know, he tried, you know, maybe 1,000 times to make a light bulb or something, you know. And then he finally succeeded, you know, something like that. But
1,000 times, yeah, that's what they say.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's what I was going to say, Ron, is maybe it's not they didn't give it to us as much as we weren't able to receive it or even know how to ask for it. Maybe we had to get to the point where we could ask for it. And what I'd like to believe is have technology and emotions be in balance and coexistence, so to speak. Not so to speak, coexist, creating synergy together. So, does that make sense? You know, I mean, doesn't humanity have a collective group mind that sort of is steering the boat down the timeline that we're on?
Well, yeah, but you want to get off all that stuff. Yeah, that's where we are. We're in the Matrix. And they're telling us what they want us to experience, and then you create that, you know, according to the, you know, universal mind, collective consciousness, whatever, you know, word you want to use there. When you're in the mind, when you're in your heart, then everything's available. But, you know, we're taught to use our mind. And, not to be in the moment. Then the past history of genetics takes over. But just remember, what we have now in technology could have been here 100 years ago, but why did they give us all the technology now? Well, it's ascension time. You know, it gets you back away.
To distract us?
And disconnect you from ascension, because you have all these toys to play with.
And they're brand new, so we may not be as mature.
And they're bringing out more stuff every day, you know?
I know. I'm sitting here playing with my smartphone, looking at all the pictures I took on it, of flowers. I've been taking pictures of flowers. Let's talk about twin flames. Because that time that we went to where my twin soul is, it was like a flower planet, is what it seemed like.
Now you're taking pictures of flowers?
I have been the last few days, yeah. So I was sitting here while we were talking, and I just picked up my phone, looked at the time, then I saw a flower on my screen, on my desktop, whatever it's called on a smartphone, on the page here, and then I went into my gallery and was flipping through all kinds of pictures. It's been, I probably got about 40, 50 pictures of flowers. But I, when I go on my walk, I take pictures of flowers on my smartphone. So, but I want to talk about twin flames.
Okay.
That's just how I made the jump from talking about what we were talking about to flowers and twin flames. So our twin flame, let me see if I tell you what I understand so far. A twin flame and us were one at one time, and we got split in two. And
that's correct.
Yeah, and seemingly, if we're here, we we took the low road, and our twin flame may not be having a reality with chaotic ups and downs and pains and whatever. So we don't want to necessarily invite our twin flame here. Might be like inviting someone into the ghetto or something, you know, here. So, but the question is, how do we nurture that relationship in a way that is, you know, synergistic? I like that
word. Yeah, it's done automatically. So, you know, when you do connect to your twin flame, automatically your twin flame knows that its other half, because it's almost always in light, not on a planet that's, what is called, a border planet, you know, next to the darkness here. So it's in light, and it can come to you in milliseconds, and it makes you feel that you're not lonely. So it will nurture you, your spirit, and in turn, you may not feel lonely. So when I do that particular session like we did with you, where we connect you back to your home base energy, which the dark side took that and created a soul family here. Remember, the dark side created everything that the light has and just flipped it around so that they could have the full benefit of it. And when you look at it, it can look proper and correct because your spirit's used to that, which holds it here held more captive anyway because it's understanding the thing and this is the way it's supposed to be. But, you know, they just alter it. So, you know, you're out in the universe, you have a home base in light where you go to after each time you have an incarnation, and that's your choice where you go to and when that particular spiritual blueprint that you're living inside of, creating, no longer exists. So you just turn it off. Here you have to wait till your death. And then your blueprint of your body, dies, and then you leave. And then they grab you, and then they put you back into darkness again, dust you off, and shove you back in again. Where on the true in true light, that doesn't happen. But it's all very similar the way they bring it forth. But once you have that,
so it's plan, like a Disneyland.
Oh, wait.
Huh? Go ahead.
Don't feel lonely, and you feel like your body is complete because you now have what you haven't had probably since you incarnated here, maybe 50 to 100,000 years ago.
Right. So, can we do a twin flame, a little bit of a process on the air here, like this, or is that more of a one-on-one thing?
Yeah, it'd be more on a personal one-on-one. It's more difficult to do something like that.
Okay.
What I could do, though, is I could bring in space holders for people.
And
the space holders, what we had on the planet for quite a while, when the spirit, Earth spirit wasn't here. So let's bring in a space holder for you, and it'll last for the next 10 minutes, so you can actually feel sort of what it's like to be connected to your twin flame. But it's not the same, but it'll at least give you an idea. So here we go. One, two, three, four, and five. And I'll do it a little bit more for people. One, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And then you should start to feel your body getting filled up. And again, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. So you have an energy now that would sort of be like your twin flame. Remember, your twin flame is not going to stay here. But this is how you would feel in the now, because your twin flame would be in the now, and you're in the now. So back to you, Jay.
Well, the now is very cool. It's
So the now is peace energy.
It is like being home. Yeah.
It's strictly peace. Doesn't give you anything. When you do clearings on the website, and I'm sure everybody would agree with me on this here, you don't get done and go, oh, man, that was a great clearing. Wow, what, you know, you're at peace. So that took away those emotions that you'd normally be jumping up and down with, and you have peace. So it took away your judgments, situations, whatever programs that you learned, and now you're in peace. And everybody wants to have peace. And the aliens want to have peace.
So they want to have peace. Are they like limited maybe in their thinking? Are they like sort of machine-like, some of them, like keep repeating things over? Like, well, like the clones idea. Someone was talking about at the checkout counter, the person would say the exact same thing every time someone went through there. It's like,
I'm sure everybody, all the listeners out there have experienced that, especially when you give change and they don't know how to give change or they don't know directions. And, you know, different things like that, or they're very limited on their consciousness. So, yeah, it's that's the way clones are now. Clones have been here, the true clones, since December 21st of 2012, and maybe before that somewhat, a few months. But, you know, we're like 90% clones here. We have the other ones that are human. So... basically, the clones, you know, could be just it's kind of like a fabrication, looking like it's a human, but they're not. But they do bleed and have organs and everything else, but they're a creation, not of light, but of the darkness creating a clone body. So it gets to be, and if you look at all the movies now, people may not understand what I'm talking about. They're hearing the words, but they go, gee, you know, that sounds really far out and weird to me, and how could that be? Well, look at the movies for the last 20 years, and even the more recent ones, and they have TV series on it, too, you know, with different things about clones. So just start getting a clue of what you've been watching and start connecting the dots, because they always tell you first what they're going to do. Remember, the dark side likes to tell upon itself. And the different alien races who are probably, you know, somehow making the movies, in a sense, coming through channels. And, you know, you have to figure out how a person writes a movie, you know, writes the script, you know. So they write something and then take it to somebody and they go, yeah, this is a great movie here. We're going to produce that for you. And voila, after a couple of years or so, well, it's what's really going on. So, you know, you get a clue of what you're watching. That's the whole thing, is have your consciousness understand that, well, this could really be true, and you go, well, I think it is, you know, and then, you know, you get used to seeing it on TV or whatever, on this different programs that, you know, have, you know, maybe 20 different episodes, and then you're kind of involved with it as you're watching it each time. Now that becomes your reality. Now when you see it physically up there on the street, you go, oh, yeah, I know about that. I watched it on TV 5 years ago. Of course they're here.
Oh. Yes. Well, let's talk about something besides Hollywood. It's I'm here. I'm in it. Sometimes I drive through it. I can, you know, I know I'm in the same area where all the big movie stuff is happening.
So do you feel any of the freeway? Do you feel any of your of the abduction points? Do you start to yawn on the freeway down there in L.A., different places? Feel like you lost your consciousness for 5 minutes and it comes back in again?
I don't know about that by location, but I do know I have experienced that on and off of, like, suddenly, whether I'm driving or whatever, I get real sleepy and I yawn a few times and I have to focus to really keep myself from going and laying down somewhere and going to sleep.
Yeah.
It's pretty heavy sometimes. So what's that?
Well, you went through an abduction point. Or maybe you were abducted. So that's what happens.
It's the same if you've been driving somewhere, right, Ron, and you all of a sudden, oh, I'm here, and you'd have no memory of how you actually got there. That has happened to me in the past.
Yes.
So what happens when we're gone? What happens when...
You're asking me?
Yeah.
Yes. That could do anything to you.
Nothing good.
Yeah, not going to mean anything good, you know. I can't. I'm sorry. They're probably checking your implants or giving you new ones, making sure that you're going to respond properly to the programs, updating you. Maybe they're doing a system restore on you, you know, or they're rebooting your hard drive, you know, or maybe they're putting more robotic parts on you, more programs. So I guess the thing would be like...
Well, is it possible, like the movie The Matrix, to completely unplug yourself?
Yes, if you're in the moment, more than likely, yes. Uh-huh. That'll be in the moment. You have to get into peace. Mind to heart drop.
Mm-hmm.
That's a simple solution. But remember, they only tag you, get you, because you have, you know, the barcodes on you. And you have a lot of emotions, typically, because they need to find you through your emotions. Rid of emotions, then they aren't going to really want to connect with you. Because what are they going to get out of you? They're waiting to get a charge. They're waiting for you to emote something, to get excited, to put energy off into your auric field, you know. And it's not there. They go, well, we'll find another person.
Be a good little light bulb. Radiate out that juice.
Yep.
God, you think that's what happens to the gurus? Like they radiate out through whatever means to the point that they get just completely overtaken and they're just channeling so much alien energy people think, oh, they're enlightened. Oh, I can feel it.
Yeah, that's true.
What
happened
to India?
Yes, that could be a possibility. Uh-huh. You always look at somebody's eyes. Are their eyes bright or are they glossed over? That's the first thing. Look at their eyes. Eyes will say who's there looking at you. Well, it looks like our show is about ready to close here.
Yeah, let's do a mind to heart drop as we close.
Oh, you want to command your spirit to take the thoughts in your head, which is darkness because you're thinking. And also mind chatter, we'll say. And take that into your heart. Your spirit can do that for you just by commanding it. I'll count from 10 to 1 backwards to drop that energy down. Then you're not going to be able to think. You're going to be peaceful. So when you think, you're not in peace, typically. And when you are in peace, you don't have any thoughts. It means how can people channel... this is what you finally realize is that when you're in your heart, you can't bring it forth anything from source energy because you're have to be in your head to do so. So here we go. Dropping down, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. There we go. So thank you, Jay. Thank you, Ann. Anything you want to add, Ann or Jay?
No, just thank you so much, Ron. That was really wonderful. And thank you, Jay. tomorrow night is Saturday night on the Light Ship, so I hope you all can be on that radio show tomorrow at 7 p.m. Pacific time. If you haven't experienced a visit to the actual Creation Light Ship, you're in for a big treat. So I suggest everyone get on that. And if possible, again, get on the 8-hour call on Sunday. And you can find out about that on Ron's website, creationlightship.com.
And also do the free clearings there. It's free sample clearings on the left-hand side underneath the login key.
Yeah.
And people just try them out. If you're a new person, go in there and use those clearings, and you're going to be amazed at how much better you feel afterwards. So blessings, everybody. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you later.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you, Jay. Bye.